This is the Team Builders Podcast, building better teams.
Welcome back to the Team Builders Podcast. My name is Jonathan, and along with my two wonderful co-directors, Jerry and Stephen, this podcast explores excellence and high performance in teams and the way in which team building and engagement can positively impact on that pursuit. We bring over 20 years of team building experience, delivering hundreds of corporate team engagements every year across the UK and beyond. If you're looking for practical insights and inspiration to help you build a stronger team, you've come to the right place.
This is the Team Builders Podcast with Stephen Haseley, Jerry Crowley and Jonathan Haseley.
Stephen, Jerry, how are you both?
Great, Jonathan. I'm feeling good today. Tried a new experiment, a new feel. I decided that training may not be for me. So I tried to work on my diet. Stephen?
Jonathan, feeling good today, feeling fit and well. Bit of an ominous sky outside, outdoors. But remember, sky, I believe in better.
Good connection. So, gents, today we are talking about onboarding. Very topical for us at the moment in particular. We've been doing lots of onboarding events for a number of our clients around the UK and feels like it fits in nicely for our conversation today. So what is onboarding? What have we been seeing? The trends? Those kind of things. I'm going to pick up on a few questions and queries. You know, for us, I guess it's those crucial first days and weeks whenever new people join the team, big companies, small companies, and how they can get on board with the approach that that company develops and delivers their work in and the culture that they are part of. So I think something really exciting to talk about and, you know, keen to get your steer on experiences both for yourselves and obviously some of the clients and these new great recruits that we've been working with. So for the uninitiated, I guess, you know, what does onboarding mean in the sense of what we deliver or what we've seen recently?
Well, onboarding, first of all, I reckon is a newish term. I listened to somebody this morning and they said that the word anxiety came to play about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I thought, oh, we've been living it for quite a while. I knew we were going to be talking about onboarding. I thought, when did I first hear it? Probably, for me, maybe I lived under a rocker a while, but maybe it was 6 or 7 years ago before it was called recruitment or familiarization within the business. So I think the formal word of onboarding makes it more wholesome in that they want to entice people into their business, into their talent, as opposed to getting them in and then trying to make them stay. That's just maybe my interpretation of the difference between, you know, come work for us or we'd like to onboard you within our business. It makes you feel like you've got a chance to either decide after to stay or perhaps to go, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
know that probably wouldn't be the business's way of doing it with all the investment they put into it, but it's I think it's a more rounded, more wholesome word than, you know, recruitment.
Yeah, for sure. So listen, I guess most of our lives, all of our collective lives have been Team Challenge Company focused, but, you know, any examples from before perhaps Team Challenge Company, Stephen, where onboarding you were part of something that maybe wasn't called onboarding then, but was joining a new business or new team or what that looked like? And how long ago would that have been?
I think 25 plus years ago, when the last time I was gainfully employed, they gave you a desk and said, there's your telephone. There were no mobile phones. And that was it. That was your onboarding. I think, to be fair, you were attracted to the company. You were attracted to the sector and you thought you'd be a good addition to that business and vice versa. And I think it was implicit that you worked hard and that you fell in with what the company asked you to do. All reasonable duties, I think, was the get out clause. But yeah, on reflection, I don't think there was a lot of effort put in back in those days, 25 plus years ago, about making people feel valued in the business and giving them clarity of not just what their role was, but what the responsibility and the bigger vision of the company was. That's become a lot more apparent over the past 20, 25 years.
Yeah, so it's pretty much, here's your job, go do it. What was the job? What was the last job before?
The last job I had was a group leisure manager for a big hotel company based in Scotland with venues throughout the UK. And basically it was to sell and promote corporate events and team building and run some of their leisure clubs and spas as well.
Yeah.
That's why I look so youthful.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
It's all the creams.
Yeah. Your payoff was loads of product.
Paid in product.
It's out of date by now.
Jerry, what about you? Is there any thing that springs to mind?
Something Stephen mentioned there. I remember being starting with a 5-star hotel group.
Yeah.
And their induction, if you want, or their onboarding to me was, this is a 5-star establishment, so you need to behave so. And I was like, I had no idea. I was like 19 and a half, maybe 20, you know, fresh from the green fields of Ireland. Which I'm sure it is 5-star, but, you know, we live 3-star probably. So I had no idea. And then they took me down and said, here's your uniform, make sure it's clean. And that was pretty it. And then you had to work in it. And that took, I reckon that took about 7 or 8 months before I understood really what they meant by this is 5-star, this is what the service is. So I guess from their point of view nowadays, they want to accelerate that. So they take that time to go, this is what we feel is 5-star.
Yes.
Because my impression of five star compared to everybody else's might be different. It might be higher, might be lower, probably lower. But they had a good feel then of let's accelerate the team through the process so we can get the five star out of them quicker, as opposed to clean that and you clean it thinking it's great and then they come back and go, that's not clean.
Yes.
And you've got no idea. So they, all of a sudden, in the old days, let's call it that for me, they would have brought all your work back, throw it on the floor and go, sort that, beep, out. And you're like, I've got no idea. And then you go at it again, you clean it, you think it's good, come back and they pick out five and they throw the rest in the ground and go, here, fix that. And that was how it was back in, well, when I first started out in a five-star hospitality.
Sounds like a five-star prison.
Yeah, name and shame. But I think now they use it as an accelerator.
Yes. Plus,
they have much more value for people now than we did 30 years ago.
Yeah.
They used to just, people were paid to do a job to get a result for the bottom line. There's a lot more involved in it now.
Yeah, that kind of takes me on to the next part about the effort that organizations go to. Again, if we're comparing it to way back then or now, it seems that kind of process of really encouraging new recruits to buy into the entire culture of the organization as opposed to just buying into the job that they have to do. It's about, Stephen, you mentioned there, clarity on the overarching mission of the company and what it means to, you know, what the key behaviours are for an organisation, values, you know, people use different interchangeable terms. But I think there's a lot of effort that really goes in early to, whenever these people join the business, make them understand and buy into that, as opposed to necessarily, this is, you're going to be your job, you're going to be an accountant, you're going to be a lawyer, you're going to be, you know, it's all about the feel. Can you speak to that at all on anything that you've seen recently?
I think culture is words that have developed over years and people understand why culture is very important in the business. I think in the early days when I first started work for other people, other companies, one of the cultures was, how are we going to make more money? And as it developed into my career, it became, how can we take better care of the customer, in brackets, so we can make more money. Yeah. So it was just the emphasis, really. It was rather than sitting in a boardroom table and saying, how can we make more money? Let's be more aggressive about sales and marketing and flog stuff. It became, what do the customers want? What can we offer them? And what is our unique selling point that we can give them that keeps us ahead of the game? So yeah, that was really digging down into the business and understanding that it was a more competitive environment out there throughout the UK, as it still is now, that those unique selling points and the skills and abilities and talents and the creativity of the team keeps you ahead of the game.
People were in abundance as well back in the 80s. You know, people had a huge need for work, for getting through, for money, for survival. The only outlet was a business that would pay you. Whereas nowadays, that kind of vibe is different. Businesses are looking for talent over
quantity. It's a competitive marketplace.
Yeah. As a crazy thing, fortuitous maybe, I was watching The House of Guinness. And, you know, I had no idea, even though I'm from Ireland, I had no idea. But
the story.
One great thing was Edward Guinness and Arthur, the two brothers. And Edward is more studious and more business type, and Arthur's a bit more of a rogue. And in 1888, or maybe, you know, 86, Edward had one of his employees was 65 and he would normally finish. And, you know, they're working in a pit and they would normally finish work and that would be them out to pasture and just try to survive and pick up some crumbs off the floor and everything. And he got given a letter in where they made the barrels, you know, the cooperage.
Yeah.
And he opens it up and it said, from here, you know, you retire today and from here on in, we will pay you to retire. And I didn't use the word retire. We will pay you even though you don't have to work.
Yeah.
And he shouts to all the employees, they're going to pay me for not working. It's like, unbelievable.
Greatest day ever.
And
they
can imagine, you know, the fireplace, everybody was shouting, roaring. Cut over to Edward and came out looking over the factory floor, looked down and all the employees went crazy. You know, he was the king. Edward was the king, paying for people to retire. And he turned to his brother and he said, this is what we're going to call a pension.
Yeah.
And that was, for me, I was thinking, oh, we're going to be talking about this. This is the first time, this is 1888, that they decided how to treat an employee a bit better than they did previous. Let's give him some pension. And employees just came on board with Edward and he was like a king. He said, look, this is what it does when you look after people. And a bit traumatized, obviously, but, you know,
cool
1880.
Story. Yeah, it's a long time ago.
Long time
it's come
ago.
A long way since then. Hopefully.
I was a boy in 1880.
That's all
that was. I think as well, there's been an analysis, detailed analysis over decades probably. In the past, we just presumed the companies were successful because of luck. Everybody goes, yeah, they're lucky. Ford, Henry Ford, lucky. You know, Aristotle, Onassis, lucky. But when you do those analysis, and, you know, we all watch YouTube now and we all listen to podcasts, And it was not by luck. It was by risk. It was by good judgment. Yes. It was building a team of people. And it was doing the right thing at the right time for the customers.
See the gap.
Yeah, and seeing the gap in the market. And when you analyse those things, you go, yeah, that was really clever. Or risk-taking, yeah, obviously. So that analysis shows people that you can be very successful in whatever sector you choose, but you got to take risks. You got to have a team that will work together. You got to have visions and values. You got to do the right thing at the right time for them. And also a big thing that the team are very invested in is doing the right thing at the right time for that customer and seeing, as Jay said, those opportunities and going for it or not, but not making excuses if you don't go for it.
Well, listen, that leads nicely on to the next part I wanted to chat to you boys about. You know, with all of the effort that goes to the onboarding process, what role can team building or team engagement or those kind of engagement-based activities and experiences, you know, what role do they play in the onboarding process? You know, certainly either we've been involved in or that we see others involved in.
Well, Jonathan, I'm going to flip that back to you because you are one of the kingpins when it comes to explaining to our clients like how important that role is to how we play to them. So I think if we can ask you, myself and Stephen, ask you.
Solid copy. I'll take it.
How do you see it from the two points of view? I think from the front line, from our point of view and from their point of view.
Yeah.
Because two very different viewpoints, aren't they?
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, the key thing is that they want to try and pick people involved with their learning process. So rather than just standing up there and say, hey, everybody, you have to be more like this. This is what matters to us. They try to make them part of what that feels like. So by delivering an experiential activity that allows the participants to have their thoughts provoked, if that's a good way to put it, and really buy into what they're talking about. Again, just in recent times or recent weeks, we've delivered experiences that allow graduates, apprentices, inductees, new recruits to be part of something creative that they can buy into and thoughts around what the business has been talking to them about for those two or three days. So I think that fits really nicely from the business perspective. It allows the business to engage their team more with those values and visions and behaviours that they've been talking about. And from the employer perspective, you know, it really allows them to integrate people quick, fast, fun, engaging, not just stand up there and say, hey, this is what's important to us. Like, they get to be really
connected.
Connected, yeah. That's a great word, yeah.
I think the connection's really important to make people feel valued. You know, we do live in a society, and I think as time goes on, we're slightly less connected in that I'm probably the only listener and the only person in this room that's not on Facebook. But, you know, I don't really classify following. To be followed is important. I'd rather people follow us back to our workplace and see that we are the real deal. Yeah. What we do on our work is what we do in our real lives with our families and our friends. That means that we do things that are hopefully holistic, even when we're fishing in a competition. In Fraserburgh, we don't just say we do it. We don't just claim to be able to do it. We do it.
Yeah.
And we do it every day for clients, traveling around the country and delivering things that we really enjoy doing, love doing it, and the client gets a huge boost from that. And again, that connectivity with us, with the customers, gives us a real boost. We love it when we do a great job.
I'm blown away by the business's efforts they put in for their future employees, team of people, huge effort, standing with us, discussing with us to the fine detail of how you're going to present it, how it's going to read, so that it reads perfectly for their culture and their business.
Yeah.
And then when you see the brand in, and more often than not, we are involved with events that clients bring their clients to, but not always their employees to, or even employees that haven't even employed yet.
Yep.
These people are hopeful for a job. When you see that effort, I think that's commendable. And my son's in university and we took him to one to see and said, this is the game you need to play. This is where the future is. So I'd imagine that the businesses that do that want their graduates and their apprentices and things to feel that and bring that story back to their connections. Because it's brand awareness, isn't it?
Yeah, I like that a lot of them put effort into, you know, genuine effort into the people's personal development. Again, like they talk about their own personal brand and whether that's important within the job that they're going to do or not is probably irrelevant, but for the people that are, you know,
point.
They buy into that, they learn that, and I see, you know, their LinkedIn profile starts to shoot through the roof and all those kind of things because they, you know, it's a personal approach, and the business genuinely wants those people to succeed, especially in their business, but, you know, in their career. Yeah. And I think that's a really great way to start it off.
Yeah,
and again, those experiences that we get to be part of, I often get emails, you know, with the survey and, you know, what was the best part? And we're often high on the list, probably because it's fun and engaging and different. And we get such great reviews on those. Yeah. And again, for the people that organize them, they enjoy that because it ticks big boxes for them.
Yeah.
But you know, it's a memory thing. And so now when those new recruits, those, again, a lot of them perhaps younger in their career or early in their career, graduates, apprentices, those kind of things, they go on and years later they still talk about those experiences. And it's all just about buying into that connected way of learning.
Yeah. When we started our business, a lot of clients would say to us, well, do whatever you boys think.
Yeah.
And that wasn't really great for us because we did what we thought, whereas we've got a much healthier communication process with our team and the team of our clients so that we dig down and give them lots of different range of solutions for what they perceive are challenges or problems potentially. And therefore, it focuses their attention into what would be right for their team, rather than us thinking, oh, this would be great. It's what would be great for their team. And all teams are different, whether they're an old team, a new team, norming, storming, et cetera, et cetera. And that's made a huge difference over many, many years, I would say. And our team get that as well. Where are you on this continuum between entertainment, team building, fun, serious, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah.
And we have gained enormous amount of confidence over many, many decades now, Jerry.
Yeah,
and being able to go, yep, I guarantee we will nail this event for this team because we will bring both the noise and the assets and the people, and we think it'll fit your culture perfectly.
You know, I remember 18 months ago, Jonathan said to me, go meet this client for us, discuss onboarding with them. And when I met, my interpretation of that brand, if you like, was pretty tough, old school. They care, obviously, but, you know,
I understand.
They were trying to change it. Talked through, came back to you, talked over it, and they didn't go ahead. And then 6 months ago, they called again and he said, well, you've met them before, so, you know, go back again. So I guess I went back again, you know, with renewed enthusiasm. But they were a different business. Yeah. They all of a sudden said, you know, we see what you are talking about. We see how we should do it.
Yeah.
If we've experienced some others, and then passed it to yourself. And then you guided them through, you know, some of it is theory of what we're trying to achieve. And they took it on and they carried it out and they were blown away.
Yeah.
They couldn't believe it. How the engagement that you talked about there, how the people on the floor connected to their values of the business, replicated those values in a gamified way, I guess. But the enthusiasm in the room was probably bigger for a team of people to put it together than the graduates that were there because they had wanted it 2 years ago.
Yes.
But I guess just fell short of the, you know, the fear, as Stephen mentioned there. So I think that's another commendable thing.
Listen, that takes, again, you know, pretty nicely to maybe the last part of today's conversation around those organisations that perhaps, or, you know, some business leaders that might be listening here, small or large in their organisations, as to if they haven't quite nailed their onboarding process yet, you know, they might still be more of the induction style phase as opposed to the onboarding phase. You know, anything that you've seen or experienced with organizations and clients that we've been so privileged to work with that they're doing really well, that you would suggest to those that maybe need to put a bit more effort into their onboarding, not necessarily effort, but maybe thoughts. Yeah.
Well, for me, I would say go back to the start and amongst your team and your business, identify what their principles are or what your values are first and how you would like people to behave in your culture and in your business. And don't be afraid to change that, because some people, some business call it principles, some call it behaviors, and some call it values. But you need to home in on one, be sure with it, iron it out, change it as your business evolves, and then onboard the team through those systems. And that gives you a ground base. Because I think if you try to onboard just because you want to be a nice company, give people what you feel they want, it doesn't really fit, because everybody's got a different idea of what a good day at work is. And really, also, the business needs to get a result. So they need to be at the forefront of that particular value in that group of values. And, you know, I think you just need to, you know, have a clear route of success.
I would say that companies we're working with already on a continuum are already working with their team. They're already successful because they can afford our services and can afford what's perceived as being time out of the business to be more strategic about going forward. But I think what we do, which is different, is not just do the event and say, there you go. We do a review on it. How did you feel? What could you have done better? What could your team, what have you learned about yourself, et cetera, et cetera. So there is a review and a roundup, which for a lot of people makes the penny drop about what they can do more for their for themselves, for their smaller team, and how that can greatly impact the wider team. But again, it's part of a continuum. There's no one fix, and there's no get-rich-quick schemes, but you can get rich over a longer time. And what I mean by rich is be more successful. But it's we always talk about marginal gains, small, meaningful things that make a difference. And I always reflect on the fact that it's time well spent. So the customers go back and go, yeah, that was great, really loved it. And they appreciate the fact that they're company has invested time, yeah, energy and effort and thought into doing something special for them, yeah, that makes a difference to them.
Yeah, for sure. Particularly when, as we talked about, you know, it is a competitive environment for lots of talented individuals, you know, and I think to really attract people, I recognise that a lot when I'm standing there in that room of 300 new people, wherever, I think to myself, oh my word, like, of course, why would you not want to work for this company?
Yeah.
You know, in it, the yeah, effort, the way they think about their language, how it's going to look, how it's going to feel. I just think it's an amazing thing. And, you know, so many organizations that we work with employ a huge amount of people as part of their early talent team or early learning team or whatever it might be. And I think that really shows to me, like, it sings out how important that is, that initial part of start your career with us and go through an entirety of a career here. I think that's an amazing thing.
Yes.
Okay, Jensen, thanks very much. Really enjoyed the conversation today. Thanks for all your inputs. We'll go back to talking about what it was like however many years ago.
No more. Well, I got a few stories.
Yeah, exactly. I can tell. We'll find out what that 5-star hotel was. Thanks so much, and we'll catch you next time on the Team Builders Podcast. For more insights, ideas, and inspiration, head to teamchallenge-company.co.uk or follow us on social media. We would love to engage with you there. For everything else, we look forward to catching you again on the Team Builders Podcast.